first think through what you're actually trying to solve and then think what you need, right? And it may be AI, or it may just be a strategy of how to digitize, which may, again, not technically be AI, but just be well thought out design of your operations.
This is the People Masterminds podcast with leading voices on people, culture, and organizational challenges in scale-ups.
We have Cynthia Leem with us today, and she's Associate Professor AI at the Delft University of Technology. Today we'll discuss AI triumphs and traps for HR. Although AI is not so new anymore, everyone talks about it. What role can people leaders take to lead organizations through the transition, and how to utilize AI in the HR profession? What is the real impact, and what are common pitfalls and risks? We'll discuss all of this with Cynthia from her scientific perspective.
We are Evelise and Crystal, and we can't wait to discuss this topic with you. We're all searching for best practices and would like to learn more about trial and error in the field. How can we make AI truly work for us? Thank you for tuning in again, and a warm welcome to our new listeners. If you enjoy our podcast, remember to hit that subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. And we value your feedback. Feel free to share your thoughts, ideas, tips, tricks, or any other feedback with us. You can send a direct message via LinkedIn or email us at info@peoplemasterminds.com. Now let's meet today's guest and delve into our conversation. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Evelise will try to capture you in a couple of sentences.
So hopefully it's accurate.
Right.
Let's see. She wants to stimulate the broadening of horizons in herself and others. She is like a fresh summer breeze in the academic world. And she's won several prestigious awards, including the Lucent Global Science Award, but also scholarships and other notable recognitions. For instance, recently she received a nomination for the top 5 diversity leaders by Women in AI. She's actively engaged in mitigating the exaggerated hype narrative surrounding generative AI. And in addition to her outstanding contributions to the university, she excels as a gifted concert pianist, known particularly for her performances with the Magma Duo. So how do you combine?
Well, actually, it is a reason why I came back to academia, because there you are in careers that are kind of similar. As an artist, as a researcher, you try to set your own path. You're curious about exploring new things, getting them to audiences. So ultimately, that's why I chose this type of combination rather than industry, and then trying to uphold the music career.
Curiosity is a main factor here.
I'd say so, yeah.
Great combination. Well, let's dive into the topic.
Yeah.
This podcast episode is, of course, all about AI, but can you just briefly explain what is artificial intelligence and how does it work? I say briefly explain. I don't even know if that's possible or not. But
yeah, this is a good one.
Give it a try.
I'll try. The issue is, if you actually critically look at these discussions about AI these days, you'll find that it never really gets defined. And that also clouds the discussion quite a bit. But if I may do an attempt at what we today discuss in terms of AI, I'd say it's systems, digital systems that work on data, and based on that data, try to at least support decisions that used to be made by human intelligence.
That's a pretty good explanation for AI. And lots of people are talking about AI and ChatGPT nowadays. What is the reason behind this explosive growth? Is it ChatGPT or what is it?
Yeah, actually, I do think so. And it's interesting because, as you've been saying, AI's been around for decades.
Yes,
it's
for
been
sure.
There for very long. It used to be really a research topic, maybe a philosophical topic, a topic for science fiction. And then at some point we got more computing power. So the ideas people had about computing and intelligence maybe became a bit more scalable and a bit more product ready in that sense.
Yeah.
Even then, I'd say I've still been an AI researcher then before it was as hip as it's been in the last year.
Yeah.
And there indeed definitely ChatGPT probably was the breakthrough in that it was an application of this technology that went very viral.
Yeah.
And where a lot of people kind of recognized how they could use this technology.
Yeah. And started using it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It became more accessible.
Yeah.
It did. And even there, it was kind of funny because, frankly, the true AI in there, being the large language model, it was around for 2 years already. It was not quite novel at all. So my colleagues who are in this natural language processing, they've been really surprised. Like, but this, we were speaking about this already. It really was just that this nice interface came on top of it, this website, the thing that looked like a friendly chatbot on the other side, right? And then it became accessible, and then people started using it. So I also would say that was a quite important lesson to us as academics, probably working on this technology, that you do need these good demos to be able to show what's going on or to make people understand.
Yeah, because about understanding AI, ChatGPT is just like a minimal of what you can do with AI, correct?
Yeah, it's an example of a particular technology. So here again, AI is a vague, broad term. But in terms of training on data, that's language, and being able to then make a chat interface on top of it, ChatGPT is a good example of that.
So now I tend to believe that people think that AI is ChatGPT, but it's not. So how about the awareness in society about artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that's why I try to be in every podcast and media production that I get invited to. Well, it's tricky because, as said, we've been very vague about what AI exactly is.
Yeah.
And what I do see in practice, having been in this space in different interdisciplinary projects, is that the AI story is maybe also a story about just digitizing in the first place, right? So having maybe a reality first in which you're fully analog and you now want to go into the digital realm, then there is automation coming into that, right? So you're not only putting things in a digital form, but you also somehow want to automate it or scale it up or make it more efficient. And in that, maybe there is some degree of intelligence you want to build into that. And only then it technically becomes an AI discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But much of what's been discussed now, even getting your data in a form that people understand, if you don't get that right, your AI won't work either. So there, I'm very mixed feeling about whether I should be very specific about where the actual AI is or whether I agree to just speak under the vague umbrella. I may even choose the latter because data digitalization in general, those also require similar types of literacy and discussion as we're now seeing in the ChatGPT discussion, basically.
Yeah.
And what do you see in practice? Does it already play a role in every company, or is it at least a topic of discussion?
So of course, I'm an academic, so I'm not necessarily in the company world, but you do see, and especially in the public narrative, right? That again, actually, since ChatGPT, now everyone wants to jump the AI train. And there I'm a little worried in the sense that I see a lot of narrative of people saying, if you don't do AI, you will be behind.
What do you think?
I don't quite think so. So what I'm always saying is, first think through what you're actually trying to solve, and then think what you need, right? And it may be AI, or it may just be a strategy of how to digitize, which may, again, not technically be AI, but just be well thought out design of your operations.
Mm-hmm.
And that question is not always asked as thoroughly. So
is it like a hype? So, okay, everyone's doing AI, let's do AI.
Yeah, we should do something with AI.
Yes. And then especially now the ChatGPT type of AI, right? So now everyone wants a chatbot, basically. That's what you see a lot.
Correct.
And that's where, do you really want the chatbot? So what do you want it for? Right?
And sometimes AI is not the solution, but digitization is.
Maybe it's indeed a step earlier. And there are years we've been trying, and somehow it never was sexy enough, I think. So people tried, but we had this huge issue in the Netherlands, at least, of digital illiteracy also with the non-technical people.
Yeah.
So for years, when this wasn't called AI, it was just called research in computer science, I very much saw that people in society didn't really have interest in engaging with us. Or we had to try really hard. I mean, I worked in music. I got there, but many others just didn't get there. And now that's changing very rapidly.
Yeah.
And if we look at it from a company perspective, because later on we will discuss how can you use AI in the HR field. But as AI is booming right now, what do you think that HR leaders should do towards the organization they work in to, well, lead organizations for the transition or what to do to create awareness. What is HR's role here?
Right. I think it's at different levels because I think part of it may be that AI / automation / digitalization will change the reality of work, right? So maybe the way in which you used to do your analog form is now changing into something else. Maybe some types of jobs in terms of the future of work discussions will be replaced or changed.
Yeah.
So on that, there is a skills question. On that, there is just generally a question on what do you want your organization to be like?
Yeah.
And strategies of upskilling your people, maybe in that sense, right? Then, of course, there is also the HR as an application case question. So more of the people analytics side of the story.
For example, there's a
lot of interest into that, too. Like, what makes a good employee? Where, frankly, from what I've heard, there isn't always as well-backed evidence for that sometimes. People are searching for this, right? Very often.
Yeah.
There are huge gaps between researchers and practitioners also on this end. So regarding that, AI may also give some opportunities, or again, broader data, digitalization, to look at that in a more structured way. And that means HR itself should also look at itself. Like, what do we want to do here?
Yeah.
And also, how do we do that responsibly? Because you're, of course, going to measure your people then in a certain way or incentivize them, which again might have influence on your company culture.
What do we want to achieve? It's like a quest.
Yeah, yeah. But indeed, it's good to go on a quest if you actually know what the grill is, right?
So,
Yeah, true. Yeah, but I do think that HR has a sort of signaling function here. This is where I see it will influence our organization or the different functions we work with. So how do we deal with this as an organization? Yeah. And the upskilling part is also an important topic that, well, at least what HR should address.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree with that. Yeah. And maybe this is what we should do to attract AI talent to become more aware and more knowledgeable as an organization.
This podcast is powered by OpenUp, the all-in-one mental well-being platform for your entire workforce. Empower your employees to build resilience, ease stress, and reach their full potential. All in one place, available anytime, anywhere. Visit openup.nl/peoplemasterminds for more information.
How do you see AI transforming other traditional HR practices? What do you see?
Yeah, so here, I think, once again, there seems to be a bit of a hyped push sometimes, right? So there are a few of these companies, HireVue is one of the famous ones, that claim to be able to do automatic assessment for you in a way better than humans or more. I'm not sure what the exact claim today is, but they've been claiming they could do it in a better way than the biased human people. However, it is a service, an external service of which people haven't really been able to trace down what it exactly does. And they do, as company, have interest in not revealing that, of course. So it's very hard to know what you're actually signing up for. And even here, in terms of claims, as I said, with the data I worked on, that was an academic benchmark. But even in there, you get rating scores and people claim it's stable, high inter-rater agreement. But if you look closer, you'd wonder whether it actually was the construct you thought you'd measure in psychological terms. We can't really see that. So, and they might not have seen it either. I don't know who was behind the training. I don't know who was behind the product.
And it's employee screening.
That would be then employee screening or interview screening, I think it's what they did. And there have been a few of these items. I think the Bayerische Rundfunk at some point also had an item on this, that some of these automated services, if you like change your background, you already got a different assessment too.
Mm.
And even in that, I've been discussing with my colleagues, like, do you or don't you want that? That's a design consideration, right? If you interview someone and they are in a super messy room, probably it does say something about their situation or their personality. But do you want to take it into account or not, right?
Yeah.
That's a deliberate choice you have to make.
That's the question. And most information I find online about AI is, in general, recruitment related, like screening, like you just said. But there are so many other possibilities if you look at the HR space. Do you think that AI could, for instance, replace the HR assistant? Or could we predict employee retention? Or what
productivity
other,
or performance?
I mean, there have been some works published on that. I mean, people do claim they may. That being said, I must at the same time say that the type of data you normally have on that right now is also super messy, right? So I think probably really well-designed studies would need to really start in controlled ways to fully be able to tell this.
And be clear on what you want to measure there,
indeed. Because even with the retention story, once again, retention is again a multifaceted thing, right?
Yeah.
That on the one hand, it may indeed be about people wishing to move away, maybe organizational fits not being right, maybe generally in terms of the organizational fit not being right, the question then also is it the company culture that wishes to change or is it the person?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a woman in STEM, this is a discussion we very often have about our roles, right? Many women don't go to the senior level or go away. And then the question is, do they feel pushed out or is this just the way things are, right? We don't know. So what you're then predicting is, again, a question. Will you maybe indirectly predict that someone indeed might at that point start a family, and in the past we didn't have that, so then the organization doesn't know how to handle it and then you go away? So even there, in terms of beyond that prediction, you do need to have some action or vision of what you want to do with that prediction.
Yeah,
and that, I think, is more important, actually, than just doing only the prediction itself.
Instead of trying to measure as much as possible, first be clear about, okay, what do we want to know and why do we want to know it?
For me, yes.
And how can it support us as an organization or team?
Yeah.
For example, I can imagine that if you could find something interesting from before performance management, well, you have all the data in your system, you can learn from it. Maybe it's connected, great performance is connected to a manager, for example.
Yeah.
Then what can we learn from it? So there will be so many ways, but I do agree, first you need to define what you would like to achieve with it. And it's already adopted in recruitment for sure.
Yes.
But that's just a little piece of our field as well. And somehow it sometimes feels like our peers in the field are waiting for others and not discovering themselves. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Crystal said before, we need to signal and we need to make sure that we are curious and discover.
Yeah, but as for that, I think if you then want to do things with datafication, if I again use the broader term, you don't necessarily need to start with something like ChatGPT, right? So even here, again, coming back to this tension of me having asked about those rater potential biases and then not being able to interact with them, I would have loved to just interview some of these people and know what they do there. And that seemed just not high enough on the priority list because people really wanted something predictive, right?
Yeah.
and that's the issue. We feel like we can
order it. But your answer basically explains to us it's not something that you just order from a system. It's something that you think about and it needs input. And if you don't have the right input, then you will never get the right outcome.
Yeah. And if I understand it correctly, before we have in-depth discussions about how to use ChatGPT in our organization, it's more a datafication discussion.
I'd say you should have. And even in terms of the use and responsible use, I mean, don't underestimate, as well as we are in Europe under GDPR, probably you will need consent by your people if you're going to do analytics on their data, right? Even here, I'm not so sure. Often many of these products get pushed from the American market. I think there is less of an issue on this.
Yeah, for sure.
But here, in terms of what you can dashboard of your person and whether they consent or whether they'd like for some things actually to be traced maybe at all, right? There are some discussions to be had there too that we don't always see at the moment.
Yeah, because what are typical ethical considerations you should keep in mind as an organization?
I mean, there have been some concerns when we had COVID and we went online that, for example, I think it was Zoom, I'm not fully sure, but there were these video platforms and Teams surely has it now too, because it does promise all kinds of analytics.
Yeah.
Maybe standard, there might be some statistics that will, for example, check whether your employee, when in a video call, might also have other things open, right? Or do other things. And then there could be questions of, okay, does that mean the person slacks off or actually that they multitask or that they, you don't know. It might be seen as an indicator of productivity or attention. It might also be seen as a violation of employee privacy.
Hmm.
So these types of discussions, or especially when this becomes a target metric, then it typically becomes a perverse incentive, right? So how to deal with that if you can measure something like that? That's, I think, the open question in many cases.
And you already touched upon the topic of diversity and inclusion. Do you think AI can enhance diversity and inclusion efforts, or maybe cut out bias, for example, in processes?
Yes, but it's complicated. So I do believe that technology can help us here, as we as humans are so terribly biased. So
we are, and we can't help
we
it.
We can't get out of it. No. And also, if you go to a human and tell them, I think you're biased, they will say, no, I'm not.
Right? We all are.
and that's the issue. So I do believe there that AI solutions, technological interventions can help us. Once again, in terms of potential biased rating, I'd love to have tools that may help us, but may help me even if I'm screening CVs. That I may be able to say like, okay, I'm looking for this and that in my candidate. Now, as an academic, you do have very picky personal picking of your people, right? So generally, it is a bit more personal than many other jobs that we have around. You will then choose people who look like you, are like you. And then the question is like, okay, if you do that and you select for this, aren't you indeed shutting out certain other candidates and maybe very good, but you just don't affiliate as well with them? Then again, is that an issue or not in terms of culture and culture change? Sometimes you do need your allies, but sometimes in terms of bias, if there is a very strong monoculture, you only get that type of people in. So this is a nuanced story to which I'm not necessarily having one single answer that you should or shouldn't do it. But it may just be nice to have a reminder. Like if I'd screen a lot of people, I would like for some tool to be able to tell me like, hey, now you ignored that person, but that other person you gave a very high score that you want to talk to them. Why is this?
Yeah.
And maybe then I have a good reason, but maybe I don't. But just something that looks along, to me, I think would be very useful. However, again, I see very little investment in that type of tooling because it creates more effort on the human side, where often it's promised to be efficient.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, but what I hear you saying actually is not that AI could replace the entire process, but you use it as sort of extra check.
Oh, totally. Yes, yes. And here, I mean, AI is a technology, and I think all technologies so far, they're tools, right? You use them as a human to make your work better. It's very, very seldom that a tool completely replaces your complete effort. It might change how you interact on the effort.
But this will be a relief for many of our listeners.
Well, lots of people, well, that's a discussion that's going on, of course. Will AI replace my job?
Yeah.
Well, maybe in some situations.
But I'd say aspects of the job. And here, of course, we have this issue with actually the sci-fi media narrative that we had in past decades. Mm-hmm. When people think of AI, they think of some maybe even robotic Skynet being type of thing. or it's not robotic, but it's still spoken of as some kind of entity coming at us, right? That's like a human. I absolutely don't have that type of image of this type of technology. No. Really
That's not. Interesting to hear from you.
No, and I think it could replace parts of your job.
Yeah.
Maybe it could replace, well, because it will replace such an important part of your job that the job will change entirely.
Yeah, probably it will.
But for others, like you just mentioned with the example of screening CVs, it will help you to do a better job.
If the right type of technology is solicited, right? Yeah. So you do see, and then again, the popularity of ChatGPT, I was a little concerned about that. That much of the hype around it had to do with this hyper-efficiency. So I did see people being super enthusiastic because they started saying like, oh, I don't have to write these letters anymore myself. It will do it for me and it sounds better. I don't have to code programming anymore because ChatGPT can generate code for me. Part of it, maybe. But you will always have to check it because it's reiterating. Exactly.
For sure, I recognize LinkedIn posts written with AI or with ChatGPT. Yeah. So people should be aware that it's not something that you just copy-paste.
No, exactly. And that's where I've been worried about. There often was this promise, indeed, of AI or generally the whole wave of digitalization, that it would indeed, basically help humankind getting the chores out of the way so we could use our intelligent brains to do purposeful things, right? That was kind of always the image. And then at the same time, we saw that when something like ChatGPT came big and people even started claiming you don't need to program anymore, that there started to be mass layoffs in tech on programming jobs, or that suddenly it became much harder there to convince people that you do need developers who actually really know the trade on that and that you can't just get random people prompting a language model, getting something and then fixing it. I mean, to be able to fix it, you do need to know how you construct something.
Yeah, you need to understand it.
So there you do still need that understanding. And I think that very fundamentally is changing also for us as educators. what kind of skills we need to give our people.
Yeah.
But there, I'm kind of old-fashioned in that I do think it's not that you only need to be able to prompt and correct. No. I still think you need to really very much be able to construct from the start.
Yeah, you need to think yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I also think that it's not AI replacing people or jobs. I do think that, especially in our field, we can automate a lot and ensure that people do more interesting jobs because there's a lot of repetitive work still on HR plates.
Yeah. Yeah, so indeed, the repetitive work you can automate, but that's maybe just automation, right?
It's not AI, it's automation. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
But still, even if it's not AI, you may want to seriously invest in it, indeed.
Yeah.
But then indeed, free up those humans that used to do this repetitive work, not by sending them away because you don't need them.
No.
You will need them. You wanted them for other things then instead, right?
Yeah. We have a question from Annika, and you just talked about skills. She asks, are there any specific skills or competencies HR professionals should develop to effectively navigate AI in the workplace? What do you think?
Yes, I would say, well, I'm not sure if they're specific to HR, but what I do reiterate very often is that I think it's very important for everyone to have a certain degree of digital literacy. I'm not necessarily saying that means that you should be able to program and train models yourself. I've seen a lot of efforts that direction. There are good base courses that are reasonably accessible to be able to do this. And if you're interested in that, by all means, go do this.
Yeah.
At the same time, what I said before also about this confusion about what actually our data or our model was, on that, I think there needs to be a lot of training. That you get quite clear if you speak to someone who may work on an AI solution, what language do you both speak and how do you translate between that?
Hmm.
That's, I think, something that would be very worthwhile to invest in.
Investigate, yeah.
And you need certain curiosity.
Yeah, and indeed be curious. So don't, let's say, don't self-center out of that discussion. That's also really important, I think.
Because, and also don't be afraid of it.
No. But also don't be afraid to ask the stupid questions, if they may sound like that, right? I think a huge issue with some of the technology now becoming too biased or too detached from reality in society has been that it's been too much glorified as a mythical thing that only very smart nerds can touch. And as a consequence, people just censored out. They didn't want to interact with that. As soon as we are speaking about the translation from a concept to something a little more mathematical, I see many people just running away. Math is difficult. I'm not good with computers. You fix this. But that's a big problem if the people who are good with the computers really have no radar at all for the reality of the practice, right?
True.
So generally, AI people, data science people are quite generally trained. They're not HR specialists. They may have first worked on biology problems or physics problems, right? Mm-hmm. So they are good at abstracting, but the other side needs to help in saying when the right level of abstraction is actually reached or it goes too beyond.
Yeah, and how to use it in practice.
Exactly.
I do recognize the curiosity part, by the way, because there's more to AI than just ChatGPT. But I think last week I talked to 3 or 4 different people leaders and none of them had a ChatGPT account. And we're working for scale-ups, like fast-growing, fast-moving environments. I also believe that it's important to have that curiosity. If everybody's talking about something, go dig into it.
Yeah, go and explore.
What can it do for you?
Yeah.
It's a shame.
I like to use it for inspiration.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that I copy paste, but sometimes it's great help.
Yes.
And then still, I should not take for granted that it's the truth.
Yes,
I need to do my own research on it.
Yeah, and different people have different preferences on it. So I do hear people saying that, and that's totally fine. If you want to get some first ideas or you really struggle with a first shot on a blank page, you can use it.
Yeah.
Unless you need to go through that first shot for the blank page if it's part of your school assignment or what you want to do. But typically you can do it. I myself have been using it mostly for more transformation chore work. I was cooking once. I had an American recipe. I wanted to take it into European measured units.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know what the ounce was in terms of volume or grams, right?
Yeah.
And then it was like I could say, like, I want half this in metric units. And then I got it. And otherwise I would have to calculate that. So that saved me time. But yeah, it depends on what you need out of it, but definitely don't just take it and then go away with it and assume that it's good.
No, and how can it work for you?
So, but I really like what you said, that prompting and correcting is not enough. You really need to understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
And for the listener, if you have any people and culture related questions that have to do with your work for a startup or a scale-up, let us know. Then we can address it in the next podcast. It can be a question for us or a question for a podcast guest. Just send us a DM via LinkedIn or email to info@peoplemasterminds.com.
So we have 5 statements for you, and you can only reply with agree or disagree.
Hard task for an academic.
Are you going to do the first one?
Okay. AI-driven performance assessments have the potential to provide more accurate and objective feedback than traditional methods.
Agree.
The biggest risk of using AI in HR is losing the human factor.
Agree? Okay. Yeah.
HR leaders who are not yet using AI in their work are missing the boat.
Disagree?
It is acceptable to utilize AI for the measurement of employee productivity.
Okay.
Ethical question.
Yeah, disagree, I'd say for now. Yeah.
The widespread adoption of AI in HR requires robust data protection measures to safeguard employee privacy.
Agree.
If you could pick one, which statement would you like to comment on?
The human factor story. The risk.
Yeah, yeah.
There I doubted, and I ultimately said I'd agree. It is the human factor, but it's generally, as said, a question of being explicit enough about strategy and purpose, which has a human factor in it, but it's also just about your organization's governance. And what I've often said also in other debates and stories about AI risks, really, I'm mostly concerned about, the role of the human, but human factor can be a lot, and often it is the role of a human in the loop. Here, for me, I've often called it more like human naivete, that sometimes humans see things that look really cool and shiny and may seem to get them out of things they find really difficult. And then they tend to go with it. Mm-hmm. And much of what we now see in AI or the successes that are claimed have to do with that. That's even why we're so happy with ChatGPT, it's giving us plausible answers that look great to us, that look better than what other humans give to us. And why is that? Yeah, it was trained as such. It was trained to give things that looked plausible and friendly. So whether that means that it's necessarily to be trusted, I think that's a separate discussion. Yeah. So looking beyond that service or knowing critically what you're signing up for, I think is also a very important thing.
Then what is the biggest risk that you see for HR professionals adopting AI in the workplace?
I think being too hasty with adopting it and then not taking enough time for having the broad view on what you need here. Also relating to these discussions about the people analytics, I'm not completely against measurement here. It might be useful. You might be able to use it for productivity. Then there are so many ways to design for that. And then taking your employee into account, indeed, with proper data protection, but also generally their voices on what they would or wouldn't wish for to be monitored for. How you want to put it in a bigger system, like, I can imagine with productivity, even just giving some feedback to an employee that you maybe not even see as a company, governor or manager, but where the person themselves a bit more like the quantified self stories may just see like, today you did this, yesterday you did that, now you're doing better, or maybe there is something, right? Such interventions maybe already can also boost productivity without it necessarily becoming analytics at the top level. So thinking about how that measurement would land, that's, I think, really important. And then if you don't develop these things in-house, though, this is a very different type of question you'd ask if you want to make a system like that from, I want to just sign up for a general library that gives me some productivity metrics out of Teams or Zoom or whatever else. So they're like getting clear what you're signing up for or wanting to sign up for, and then knowing what you're actually soliciting if you then look outside, like who can build this for you.
Yeah,
that's, I think, a very critical question.
So again, having that vision, then think about, okay, is this truly an AI discussion or maybe is it digitalization? But maybe even more important, is that truly the case or do we just need to have maybe the good conversation, just give each other some feedback?
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, we should fix this with AI.
Exactly. And there indeed, then the human factor does come back.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a nice discussion on the workflow just this morning about venting moments that at some point many people in my generation were telling our leaders, like, you know, it's also nice to sometimes just be able to vent and be upset.
Yeah.
And then my
AI
manager,
can solve that. Yeah. No, use a robot. Don't bother me.
You can use a robot for that. Then again, being with other humans around you, like you bond on this, right? And my manager was saying, like, isn't this making the whole story a bit too negative here? And we were like, no, it was very nice to be able to vent. And just things like that, right? Yeah. There are small things that you're not necessarily budgeting into your time, but it might even help. Even if there is no follow-up, if you just shared the load together, sympathize with one another, you can go on maybe again.
True. What key insights should CEOs be aware of tomorrow regarding how AI will impact their organization? What do you think?
Yeah, so I'd say again, coming back to what we said before, AI is not just ChatGPT, and the general AI discussion is a bit broader even than necessarily mimicking human intelligence in a tool. That's, I think, the main key insight to have. And even in that, then, if you don't use superhuman looking AI, you might look less hip today. But if you automate things properly, probably you will get much happier employees. This discussion has been going on for so long. When we just automated things, how many forms and systems haven't been poorly adopted into organizations because the people who tendered for them, they just didn't think of the actual user needs, right? This is an ongoing problem. And university, we have it too. Every big organization has this issue. And if we don't get that right, then getting something right that tries even more impactful things will be very challenging. So just start there. Like, listen to your people and the needs that are there, and then critically think what kind of systems you'd need to be supported.
Gallup recently researched this. They asked leaders, company leaders, what types of improvement they are thinking of. And their top answers included increased efficiency, increased effectiveness, greater speed, better decision making, and more opportunities for workers to focus on strategic thinking. Now, let's see how realistic that is.
Well, Cynthia, big thank you for joining as our guest today. Did you find our discussion insightful? Take a moment to evaluate this podcast episode on your preferred podcast platform. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. By doing so, you ensure a steady flow of the latest episodes directly to you, while also helping others discover the wealth of insights we share. Thank you for listening, and till the next episode.